Tarot Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, since that's what we live in post-Fukushima. So today's Wednesday, and I like to have people interviewed on Wednesday, and today we have the honor of having Mr. Chuck Johnson back on the radio with us. He cannot share the entire hour with us. He's got some pretty urgent meetings to go to, but he will stay with us for as long as possible. So without further ado, I want to introduce Chuck. Thank you for joining us again, Chuck, and thank you for giving us your precious time. I really appreciate it. Oh, dear. It sounds like we might have lost Chuck this morning. Okay, so Chuck Johnson.
Here we are. I'm here.
Here we are. Yay. Okay, good.
I had a call coming in at the same time, and it blocked my ability to talk to us.
Well, good. That's all right. Look, let's get right to it since I know that your time is limited today. And, you know, we want to get right to this. So why don't you give us some information on what it is that you wanted to share with us so we can get right into it.
Okay. There's a couple things happening with the Columbia Generating Station nuclear power plant located on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. This is the nuclear plant that we in the Northwest, who are opposed to nuclear energy, are trying to close down. It's a 33-year-old GE boiling water reactor, Mark II design for its containment, but extremely similar to the Mark I containment design that failed so horribly in Japan three times. Actually, the NRC does acknowledge that this is a vulnerable design to the extent that they're requiring the Energy Northwest, which runs the Columbia Generating Station, to put in vents to vent out the hydrogen in the event that they have an accident similar to the Fukushima accidents, so that you can get rid of the buildup of hydrogen and try to avoid explosions in that type of accident scenario. They didn't, however, they aren't going to be putting filters on those vents because the nuclear energy industry convinced the Nuclear Regulatory Commission not to require them. So in the event of an accident, they would be venting radioactive particles and radioactive gases into the surrounding communities.
Hopefully, but what's the point of putting the vents? Oh, to keep it from exploding, I see.
Right. Yeah, the purpose of the vents is to stop explosions from happening, and that's all well and good, but you really ought to be filtering those vents so that you aren't contaminating the neighborhood while you're preventing explosions.
I think that actually St. Louis has shown them that they don't really need to care about that because people really are convinced a good most of the population don't know about it, so what they don't know doesn't hurt them, and B,
right.
when they do know about it, they don't actually believe that radiation is killing them. That's what we've seen in St. Louis. So it's a win-win on their part. They can do whatever they want, you know.
Well, that is
which is why it's important for us to push back, because we know those are lies and it's not true, you know. So
well, that has been a major tactic, is to minimize the danger involved in radiation, definitely.
Yeah.
And justify your industry in that way. So anyway, the things that are happening right now that are really would be of interest to listeners, I think. One is that there's a group of employees at Energy Northwest, at the nuclear plant, that have begun circulating memos and letters and notes to the press and to board members of Energy Northwest. It's run by a board of publicly owned utilities who send representatives to the board. And also to me, they've been sending it to Physicians for Social Responsibility. Information that indicates that the CEO and other officials at Energy Northwest have been hiding the poor performance of the plant in recent years. They had, when this management team took over 6 years ago, they, you know, tried to turn the culture around at the plant. It's had a pretty rugged history. They had a number of scrams in the early 2000s. They had a failing condenser unit that they eventually replaced in 2011 when this new team first came on. And then their performance began to improve after this condenser was replaced, because that was a main source of a lot of the problems they're experiencing at the plant. So they were touting all of these improvements. There's a rating system for nuclear power plants that's done independent of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's industry run, but it's pretty honest. It was set up after Three Mile Island as a way for plants to rate themselves versus one another to try and avoid another accident of that type. And it's called the Institute for Nuclear Power Operations. Mm. They set it up so that utilities can hide the numbers if they choose, so that they can get full reporting. They want everyone to report the numbers so they can rate people accurately, and then they share the numbers within the industry. But then those numbers are supposed to be proprietary, so you can publicize them if you want, or not if you don't want, and that way everyone buys in. So as a consequence, they tend to be pretty honest. These ratings were being publicized by Energy Northwest because they were improving. They were at the bottom quarter of plant performance when they took over, and within a couple of years, they'd moved up into the top quarter.
Okay.
And they were touting that.
Right. I saw that on their website, that they have one of the highest rated nuclear power plants in the country.
Right. And that's no longer true. And it stopped being true almost immediately, almost after within a couple of months of having gotten up to that top quarter, they started slipping back down, and we're pretty soon, within a year, back in the third quarter, and we're bouncing around there for a while. And they were still reporting that to their board, although they weren't reporting it really to the public. But then they stopped even reporting to the board when they slipped into the fourth quartile. They had a very rugged outage. They were, you know, every 2 years they shut down the plant and refuel it for refueling. And this is typical in the United States. It used to be every year, but the NRC has allowed them to do it every other year now. And they end up with hotter fuel, but that's a whole other topic. But they do end up, you know, it increases their efficiency because then they're down for less long, less for shorter periods of time in a 2 year cycle. And anyway, this particular outage, they had several things that they found when they shut down that they needed to fix. they had to replace 200, excuse me, well, I forget exactly how much pipe, but a large amount of goes into their filtration system was showing signs that it would start leaking soon. It was getting very thin.
I think that's mentioned in this whistleblower letter that you talked to me about, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go through this whistleblower letter when you get off the air.
Yeah, so they basically, and then when they turned the plant back on, one of the two pipes that feed the cooling water into the reactor core, a valve wouldn't turn, and it was shut closed, and they actually, instead of turning the reactor off and fixing it, they tried to fix it while the reactor was running at 2/3 power. It took them about 3 weeks to do that. In the process, they probably introduced flecks of metal and material into the reactor cooling water, which caused two, possibly three fuel bundles to have failed fuel. That is to say, a leak in the zirconium cladding of the fuel. And they've had to insert control rods to in around 12 fuel bundles in order to stop that leak, which reduces their efficiency by that much. They don't have access to that fuel during this period before the next fuel outage. Refueling outage. So they basically, a whole series of things happened that caused their ratings to go down into the fourth quartile. And they didn't report it to the board. And in fact, this whistleblower, the board was saying that this was inadvertent. The management was saying that this was inadvertent, that they were not telling their board about going into the fourth quartile, because they had shifted the way that they report.
Of course.
Shifted it away from the INPO ratings to their own new brand of ratings. Now, that seems like a pretty bad argument to, you know, any thinking person, but that was being accepted by the supposedly independent investigator, a big energy law firm called the Pillsbury Law Firm in D.C. that was looking into it. The whistleblower then put out a before and after memo in which the PR staff had given the CEO language in his talking points for the board that said they'd gone into the fourth quartile in September of 2015. The after memo, he cut all of that out and cut all the reasons why they had slipped down, which were explained in the talking point, and made it all about how things were going really well, and they really were in the maintaining excellence phase of their excellence and management model. So it was a complete cover-up to their board. He deliberately hid the information from the board. So today, this afternoon, the Pillsbury report is going to be revealed to the Executive Board of Energy Northwest, and they will have taken into account this new before and after memo, and they will decide whether or not they're going to stick to their original tentative report that it was, you know, just bad communications, not anything intentional that caused the CEO to not tell the board that they had slipped into the fourth quartile of the INPO ratings. That's
Chuck,
kind of a long, convoluted way of saying they haven't been run very well, and they've been trying to hide it from everyone.
This is the thing that blows me away. I know we only have 5 minutes, but when you go to these meetings and you actually talk with these people or representatives of these executives, representatives of Columbia Generating Station, the executive board who manages it, you interact with these people. Is there any conversation about the harm to human health, or are they just like a lot of people who just think, really, it's just radiation is just not that harmful?
They think that radiation is not that harmful. I think they would have a hard time being in the industry if they believed it was that harmful. They'd have to, in a way, have to delude themselves a little bit, especially those who are actually working in the plant.
Well, they are deluding themselves a little bit, don't you think? Mm-hmm. They're actively deluding. I mean, and there is no, they're just in complete denial over the medical industry's reports about the harm to human health for radiation.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about the INPO rating is that one of the things they rate for is radiation exposure of the workers. So it is something that's part of their rating system. But it hasn't, and this particular plant is really bad on that score.
Do you know any of those 41 people that were recently exposed? Do you know if any of them are okay? Do you know the status of those people that were recently exposed up there that we were reading about in the newspaper?
You're talking about, these are Hanford workers, so at the...
Thank you for clarifying that, yes.
Yeah, that's different than...
the Columbia Generating Station, that's
those
right.
Those are people who work in the nuclear power, nuclear weapons complex.
Okay.
And they're not the nuclear power plant.
You know, this is my question to you is actually a perfect example of how easily convoluted, and I think that's an intentional thing by the nuclear industry. Like, a lot of people know that Hanford's up there. They're not really completely clear that Columbia Generating Station is up there. It's a separate entity, separate things. Even in my head, like, when I think about the Columbia Generating Station, I've been thinking about those 41 workers because that are actually in that same community. They're all still in the same little community. They're all community members, and yet there's the people at the Columbia Generating Station, they're not even allowed to talk about this, are they? They can't discuss any of these things.
Not really, although the whistleblowers are definitely
speaking out. Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
The other thing I want to mention before I jump off here, and I do need to leave here.
I see that.
Really soon. Is that we just had a hearing yesterday in the Energy and Environment Committee of Seattle City Council. City of Seattle, through its municipal utility, Seattle City Light, is a co-owner of the Columbia Generating Station, along with 26 other municipal utilities and public utility districts in Washington State. And we gave testimony yesterday, and the committee passed a resolution that would set as aspiration closing the Columbia Generating Station and being totally carbon free and nuclear free. They're mostly carbon free right now already, and also pretty close to being nuclear free too, because only 4% of their electricity comes from the CGS. But It passed unanimously, and we're expecting it to pass the full council. We have the support of City Light and the mayor at this point as a compromise. Our initial resolution was to call for the rapid closure of the plant, and the mayor and City Light wouldn't agree with that. So we decided to compromise with them rather than try to force something through that they then would not enforce as policy. So, sort of a small, more of a
small gain, yeah.
But it's the first utility to have as its aspiration to close this plant.
Wow, great. Well, congratulations on that effort, really.
Yeah.
Thank you for your effort on that one. Look, I see that it's 8:19. I don't want to keep you. I know you have a pretty important meeting to go to today. We are going to have you back on, let me see what the date, I think it was July 13th. So you'll be joining us again. Maybe you can give us a more full report on some of this information that's happened since then.
Yes, absolutely.
It'll be great, and I appreciate it. That's really awesome. Thank you, Chuck, for joining us. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
All right. Sounds good, Lonnie. Thank you. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, that was pretty interesting information about what's going on over there. Chuck brought me to this webpage. And in fact, I encourage everyone to visit this webpage because I have known about it, but I actually haven't had the time. I've been super busy in the last month or so. There's brand new information that's posted on the nuclear, it's called Nuclear Free NW Northwest, right? Nuclear Free Northwest. org. And there's a whistleblower letter that I am going to share with us a little bit pieces of it. And this is what Chuck was talking about. The whistleblowers up at the Columbia Generating Station, the workers at the Columbia Generating Station have pretty much had it. Chuck was telling me before we were on the air that it's not just one whistleblower. There's a whole handful of whistleblowers that are speaking out anonymously in various ways, not just to Chuck Johnson or Mimi Gurman or even to the newspaper. They are searching ways to reach out in any way that they can to get people to understand just how terrible the management of the Columbia Generating Station really is and the complete disregard for human health that they are doing. So let me jump to this letter, and I'm just going to read to you exactly what it says. And I don't know how it's – let me see how long of a letter it is. It is a three-page letter, so we have about 40 minutes. I don't think I'll be able to get through all of it, but I'm going to – I'll scroll through so maybe we can hit some of these points. And this is the whistleblower letter from the Columbia Generating Station employees. It says, "We are a group of Energy Northwest employees, and we are concerned that our current performance is being hidden from the public and even staff. We are sending this anonymously because we are concerned about retaliation if discovered. The following information is important for you and the public to know regarding the downward trend of performance at CGS and the lack of transparency. There are 99 operating commercial reactors in the U.S., and industry organization called INPO, which Chuck just explained to us, provides oversight to the industry and was created after Three Mile Island. INPO tracks an index that measures safety, reliability, production members. The index has a maximum score of 100. We call this the CGS index. 5 years ago, CGS had the 104th lowest score. Several plants had been closed since. There are now 99, so there were 104. Had the 104th lowest score. The low standing was the subject of a news story at the time in the Tri-City Herald, November 2nd, 2010. What happened since 2010? A new plant leadership team was hired and very well paid to get top performance compared to our nuclear peers. For a brief period of time, the index score peaked in the low to mid-90s. The time here was very brief. We seem to claim victory across the entire organization. We have seen a steady decline of the index with a return to low levels. As of November, this is 2015, our score will be under 80 and will be among the worst performers in the United States. Here is the specific data. As of the end of July 15th, any score below 85 points placed CGS in the worst quartile of the 99 operating commercial reactors in the U.S. July CGS index was 81.01. August CGS index, 81.19. September CGS index, 81.22. 85th worst in the United States. Out of 85 plants, how many plants? 99 plants. They were 85th. October CGS index 82.10. November will be approximately 78 due to the points lost as a result of the fuel leak. There was a fuel leak, folks. On December 14th, the CEO and CNO told all employees that the fuel leaks caused us to enter the fourth quartile as of November 2015. This is not true. We entered the fourth quartile much earlier, and to think the employees would not recognize this deception does not say much for how intelligent the CEO and the CNO think we are. Senior Plant Management continues to tell the organization and public how we are an excellent performing nuclear power plant, while ignoring the precipitous fall of our industry standard by measures of reliability, equipment health, radiation protection, and recent increase in significant human performance events, including a level one clearance order failure, a loss of diesel generator operability due to human error, and a slip and a fall by a supervisor resulting in an injury. 5 years ago, the management team started a program called the Phases of Excellence to improve performance. We are currently in phase four, which is ironically called sustaining excellence, which implies that we have achieved excellence and are staying there. Let me make sure I'm still okay. Thank you, folks. Let me get back to this letter. I just want to make sure that my connection was still strong. What is excellence? The index is divided into four quartiles. Our stated goal of excellence is defined by top quartile performance. Now that our index score has fallen, plant management rarely talks about the index with the staff or how far we have fallen compared to our past performance. When our score was higher, the message was, our score is high and we are superior performers. The current message from plant management is that the CGS index score does not really matter because we are running the plant so well, producing so much electricity. Are we producing industry-leading amounts of electricity? No. We also track the CGS capability factor compared to the industry, and as of November 2015, CGS is 91st out of 99 nuclear power plants in the U.S. based on a 12-month capability factor, 99th out of 99. Nuclear safety. Management is making decisions to keep the plant running to stay online at any cost, and that includes cost to human health, folks. That's my comment. Senior management made a decision to fix a huge valve while the plant was stuck at approximately 50% power. The engineering VP has stated that the most likely cause of the fuel leaks was unwanted material introduced to the core during the valve repair. Industry safety. There is a serious industrial accident at the industrial development complex, the old Unit 1 site. There was a serious industrial accident. A fall from a ladder by a contractor resulted in multiple fractures and a stay at Harborview Hospital. We did not share the details or learnings from this event with company personnel, so I can't exactly tell you what happened. We had been touting that we have worked millions of hours without a lost time accident. After this event, we subtly changed our millions of hours without a lost time accident at Energy Northwest to millions of hours without lost time at Columbia Generating Station, and just ignored the accident while failing to let the organization learn for the event. In the last few weeks, a supervisor at CGS slipped and fell and sustained an injury. And I'll tell you what, folks, I was out there a couple of weeks, as you know, a week ago Sunday. It is a wreck. That place looks decrepit. It does not look like a good, clean, efficient, brand new, well-kept place. It is, I mean, dirty, and it looks filthy. It's disgusting. So I'm going to get back to this letter. With electricity production and CGS index at or near the bottom when compared to other nuclear plants, we have achieved the excellence. Here are some final points for you to consider. Ask the CEO and CNO to tell you when we entered the fourth quartile of the CGS index. We believe we entered the fourth quartile as early as July, and it's been suppressed so we can stay in the sustaining excellence phase. The details of how we are losing index points are telling. Radiation safety, we are a high radiation dose plant. Electricity production is low, and the failure of our nuclear fission product barriers, which is essentially saying that they have a fuel leak. He has in parentheses a fuel leak. I guess that's what they call this, a failure of our nuclear fission product barriers. Don't you love how they say that? This guy wrote this in a letter. A failure of our nuclear fission product barriers, and he put in parentheses, a fuel leak. I don't know about you, but that makes my blood boil. Just, this guy's a whistleblower, and he's referring to a fuel leak as a nuclear fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, nuclear fission product barrier, a failure of our nuclear fission product barriers. That's called a fuel leak. Okay, I'm going to get to the letter again. Ask EN, and that's capital EN, and that must be someone that works there, some executive somebody, to tell you how our capability factor compares to the industry. We talk about how we stayed online for a 2-year period, but we did not meet even our own generation targets last year. Energy Northwest. Ding, ding, ding. That's EN. Ask EN to tell you our score on the Equipment Reliability Index, a measure of equipment health owned by engineering. We believe we have the second lowest or the lowest score in the entire nuclear industry. Man, this letter is scaring me. The CEO and CNO are rarely on site spending much of their time traveling. During the last, I hope they're flying in airplanes. I don't know about you guys, but I certainly hope they're spending a lot of time in airplanes. During the last extended high-dose outage at CNO was in town. Excuse me, during the last extended high-dose outage, the CNO was in town for only 19 days out of the 51 outage days. He took trips to Anchorage, New York City twice, Washington, D.C., Denver, and Florida. We suspect similar attendance by the CEO, but his calendar is blocked from view. It is peculiar that Energy Northwest to have an employee calendar unavailable for viewing by your own teammates. You might also consider asking Energy Northwest about the NRC investigation, fine, and settlement related to the willful inattentiveness by industry security officers. So what does that mean? I think we will ask about that. Security officers were taking nude photos while on duty at security posts. They were taking nude photos while on duty at the security posts. Well, you know, I do have to say it's out in the middle of the desert. There's nobody around. It's not like they were exposing anybody, but that's kind of a weird. Who would be doing that? Also, a security officer was found to be involved in a geocaching game while on duty, where gamers were invited to attempt to enter the Columbia Generating Station owner-controlled area via an online game app. Now, that is more scary than them taking nude photos of themselves. That's kind of a weird thing. That is a serious breach of security. Taking nude photos of yourself, that's just weird. But the other one, that's a breach of security, man. That is odd. We hope the truth comes out about the performance of the Columbia Generating Station and the lack of transparency by plant management to ensure that we get the focus needed to ensure safety operation at the nuclear power plant and the protection for our employees. So that was the 3 pages, you guys. That was a very interesting letter. So they're just basically doing whatever they want out there. They don't really care. Let me print this out. Hold on just 1 second. I want to make sure I don't lose it, and I want to print it out. You know, this is the thing about what's going on. I have to say that this experience with the people of St. Louis, I really appreciate it because they're such beautiful, sweet people. But I really get this message that many of them just don't think it's that dangerous. And I mean, we talk about, so maybe I ought to be reporting a whole lot more on the social engineering of convincing people that nuclear power is just not that harmful. It is completely stunning that people are just ho-hum about the harm that nuclear causes. You know, the worst part, as Dr. Helen Caldicott says, is that the incubation period is 4 to 80 years. And considering we've only had nuclear for, what, 70 years, we haven't seen the full incubation period for the first nuclear bombs that were dropped. So we're still in the incubation period for the first nuclear bombs that were dropped. And all we've done is just contaminate the entire planet. So one of the things that happened here with this whistleblower letter is, you know, if you go to the Nuclear Northwest page, essentially there was more letters. They really came online and created, there was another letter from the Columbia Generating Station. That first letter was January 2016. You know, I have all these links open, but I to be honest, there's a lot of links. I'm going to reopen this letter. I want to make sure I'm getting the right letter. This is April 21st, 2016. So this is like a brand new letter. And it is completely shocking. This is April 21st, 2016. It is being reported. This is a copy of the Tri-City Herald that talks about this. Anonymous letter to Energy Northwest questions investigation findings. So this is a story written by Annette Carey of the Tri-City Herald, who valiantly is doing all they can to expose the harm that this nuclear power plant is doing to their beloved community. It is a beautiful, beautiful community up there. The skies are so blue. The expanse of the Northwest Desert is just so beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's the plateau up there. It's like, it's so unbelievable. The browns, the deep, deep colors that are going on, the greens, the Columbia River. You know, it pains us to look at it, but it is full of plutonium right now. And there's just this, we're in on the plutonium, folks. So let me read to you this article, because this was posted on Nuclear Northwest. And see if she can offer anything on this. So let's see what she says. And this is Annette Carey. Another anonymous letter sent to Energy Northwest board members is criticizing the preliminary results of an investigation of allegations made in previous letters. Letters were sent to some board members early in the year saying the unnamed workers who wrote it believed information about subpar performance of the nuclear power plant near Richland was being hidden from Energy Northwest governing boards, employees, and the public. Energy Northwest Executive Board hired the Pillsbury Law Firm of Washington, D.C. to investigate the allegations. Issues appeared to be mainly with communication, Pillsbury officials told the executive board about a month ago in a preliminary report at the phase of the investigation. Hold on, I want to hang on. A Pillsbury law firm, I wish they would tell us what the name of the law firm was. I'm going to have to do some digging. But the latest letter alleges that Energy Northwest executives were releasing information that was not just confusing, but that they knew it was wrong. They included an email sent August 18th to a top executive of Energy Northwest Nuclear Power Plant, the Columbia Generating Station, that said that the plant had fallen into the worst performing 25% of plants nationwide. The ranking was prepared by the nonprofit group, the Institute for Nuclear Power Operations, the INPO. But the executive board was told in September that the Columbia Generating Station was in the third quartile ranking rather than the fourth quartile ranking, the newest letter said. Typed information for a report to the executive board in October continued to state that the plant was in the third quartile, the letter said. Wow. So they're even lying to their own board members. It was not until December that information was provided to the executive board that the nuclear power plant near Richland had fallen into the fourth quartile. It based its information on the search of Energy Northwest document and data systems. The letter said that as of December, the plant ranked 88th out of 99 plants. Radiation exposure was the third worst among boiling reactors, and equipment reliability put it at 97 out of 99 plants. I am super glad that I wore a face mask when I went up. Actually bought a gas mask to go up to the Columbia Generating Station and bought a specific filter that filtered out the nuclear particles. I don't know how much was caught, but I definitely did catch it. When the plant index was climbing and at its peak, the index was discussed publicly and frequently, the letter said. As performance declined, the index discussion with member utilities disappeared, yet the message was still universally positive, with a focus on other topics. The letter also questioned why executive compensation has skyrocketed while performance has plummeted, using the chief nuclear officer's pay as an example. Listen to this, folks. Energy Northwest said the pay, which is based in part on aggressive performance goals, declined from fiscal 2014 to fiscal 2015, when the officer earned $916,000, including base pay and short and long-term executives. The guy who runs Energy Northwest gets paid almost $1 million a year to pollute the Northwest. I don't know about you, but that makes me spit nails. Back to this letter, or it's actually a newspaper article that you can actually see at the TriCityHerald.com. And the date of this letter, let me run back here so that you can see it. The date of the letter was dated April 26, 2016. So that is just unbelievable. That's like, seriously? That was below the 50th percentile for, no way. That was below the 50th percentile for chief nuclear officers nationwide of about 1.4 million, which is close to what the officer is eligible to earn in the fiscal year 2016 by meeting all goals. So it's incentive-based. So if he doesn't meet the goals, he still earns almost $1,900,000 as opposed to 1.4. So they can just neglect their duties, neglect the harm to human health, do whatever they feel like, threaten the entire planet with a Columbia Generating Station right next to Hanford. No regard that it's less than 20 miles away from Hanford. And the difference of a poor-performing executive at Energy Northwest is $1.4 million a year as opposed to $916,000 a year. So I don't know. What would you guys do? I mean, I might go golfing an awful lot if I had no regard for human health and could still make $916,000. To be honest, as I'm reading this, I am just nonplussed. $916,000 is a low pay for the director of an Energy Northwest. Wow. Executive compensation, they are in the lower percentile rate, was the 50th percentile rate. $916,000, folks. That's our tax dollars. That's our money. We're giving each one of these executives over $1 million a year to poison our planet. If that's not enough information to get every person listening off of their rear ends and start dialing for dollars and start calling their own elected officials, getting in the streets, doing what, even if you don't believe in the political system, whatever it is you think you can do, you ought to be doing it. This is like unpeeling an onion. The more I unpeel this onion, the more angry I get, the harder the tears flow. So let me get back to this story. I see that we have about 15 minutes left. Wow, that definitely blows me away. As you can tell, I'm reading this with you for the first time. There has been a decline in performance at the Columbia Generating Station, but issues are being addressed, said attorney Daryl Shapiro of the Pillsbury Law Firm. Daryl Shapiro, maybe we ought to talk to old Daryl. I wonder how much old Daryl makes defending these monsters. Some issues were influenced by the plant's last refueling outage, which was no longer than expected, reducing production and exposing workers to more radiation than had been anticipated for the shorter schedule. The plant also operated at reduced power for several weeks after the outage of a stuck valve was repaired. The authors of the letter said the Pillsbury that Excuse me, I'm going to read that portion again. The authors of the letter said that Pillsbury selected who they would interview did not provide a way for them to provide concerns in a confidential and safe way. Physicians, and she should have said, Physicians for Social Responsibility of Oregon and Washington received a copy of the letter and provided it to the Herald. So that was the letter that I suppose we just left, and then the letter sent to Energy Northwest. That is actually completely, I am blown away. Anonymous letter criticizes Energy Northwest. There's another story by this same person. Oh, no, it's not. It's by Courtney Flatt, April 27th, 2016. We have less than 15 minutes. Let me see how long this. We might be able to read this whole thing. A third anonymous letter is criticizing an investigation into Northwest's only nuclear power plant. The investigation stems from other letters written by apparent insiders at Energy Northwest and is looking into the plant's performance. The anonymous letter says the nuclear power plant's poor performance was hidden from the board and the public. It says that Energy Northwest knowingly released confusing and false information that showed the plant was running at a higher performance level than was actually accurate. In August of last year, the Energy Northwest performance fell to the lowest ranking, the fourth quartile of nuclear power plants in the country, according to an email from Energy Northwest executives included in the letter. Yet, according to inside sources, board members and employees were consistently told that the plant was still in the third quartile of rankings. Board members were not informed until December 2015 of the lowered rankings. The letter notes that as of March 1st, 2016, the public was still being told that the Columbia Generating Station was performing well through articles linked on Energy Northwest website. And to be honest, it's still there. We looked at their website last week when we went out there, and it says that it's rated as one of the highest ranking nuclear power plants in the country with one of the highest safety. It says that right on their website at Energy Northwest. In quote, as a board member, are you not concerned that the leaders are distributing false information to the public? While saying that the plant is a top performer, the plant was actually near the bottom of many important measures. While saying we were a top industry performer in equipment reliability, the plant was actually third worst in the entire U.S. nuclear fleet, the letter says. This is not the first anonymous letter sent to the board warning of serious problems. The first letter, apparently written by a group of concerned Energy Northwest employees, was sent to board members in January. That was the letter I just read to you. That kicked off an investigation. The preliminary finding by Pillsbury, a Washington, D.C.-based law firm, says there needs to be be better communication to the board, but employees who wrote the anonymous letter say now they did not feel comfortable approaching the investigators with their concern, because it's pretty obvious this law firm Pillsbury is hired by the nuclear industry to keep lying to us. The Energy Northwest board previously expanded the investigation to look at employee safety culture, whether employees at the nuclear plant feel they can report problems without fear of retribution. Full results of the Pillsbury investigation are expected next month. And that was in April, right? So we have not gotten that letter yet, and we have not seen it, but this last paragraph kind of made me a little nervous for these whistleblowers. Energy Northwest previously expanded the investigation to look at employee safety culture. You know what that means. They've expanded the investigation to find out who is talking. And they are definitely going to have some retribution. Because as we heard Chuck say earlier, they really honestly do not believe that radiation is harmful. They could not be doing the things they do if they really, you know, these people are making $1 million a year, killing the Northwest, destroying the Northwest, destroying, in fact, our breadbasket. Do you people out there understand? I mean, it is so incomprehensible we allow this nuclear power plant to operate. It is less than 15 miles away, 20 miles away from Hanford, where they are dumping nuclear waste right out in the middle of the desert. We know they're doing it. And this power plant is built on top of active earthquake faults, multiple earthquake faults. And when it has an earthquake, if it's over 6.0, Columbia Generating Station is going to melt down, period. It's already got cracks and leaks, folks. It's not going to take much for this stuff to crack. On top of the fact that they have those spent fuel pools sitting up 100 feet in the air doing absolutely nothing, waiting for an earthquake to spill them down. But when that happens, if nobody can get into Hanford for 2 weeks, Hanford will blow up and become a nuclear fire that will not be put out. And the entire breadbasket of the United States is going to... You think Chernobyl hurt the food supply in Europe? But by America, we're going to have nothing but toast in 15 years. We will have nothing here. This shutting down the Columbia Generating Station affects every single person in the United States because it provides a potential danger to every single citizen in the United States. And that's if you believe that nuclear radiation is harmful. So that's where we're at. We're having this insane conversation. Right now, we're having to rethink this conversation about, is nuclear radiation harmful to human health? And how much is the exposure? And what are they giving us? I mean, it is just unconscionable. So let me, you know what? That really got me going. I mean, I honestly have to say, I really thought that, like, this is how naive I am. The CEOs of these big mega corporations, it didn't even occur to me that they would be earning millions of dollars a year to harm the population. I mean, I thought maybe 500,000, 400,000, half of what they earn. But really, I don't know why that's offensive. $500,000 as opposed to $1 million being offensive to kill people. But it's just... unbelievable. I'm going to Google in, does radiation cause harm to humans? Let's see what it says. So I'm going to go to the Googles because this is really unbelievable. I mean, people are actually acting as if it doesn't really matter. This is what I just can't get over. People are actually acting as if it really does not matter. Post Fukushima, we have just ignored it and pretended like it just does not harm us. Radiation does harm us, folks, and the absorption rate, it takes a long time for the radiation to expose itself to us. And we cannot just pretend like this is nothing. And I honestly, like, you know, the people that I've talked to that live near the Columbia Generating Station basically tell me that really I'm fear-mongering, that there is just not that much harm to human health. And it's just, you know, that they're able to keep it. So I found this website, Radiation Answers, and I don't know. I just clicked on a link when I Googled it in. But it, I'll be honest, this looks like an industry paper to me. This looks like a serious industry bit of radiation propaganda. But let's take a look at it. Just by the way it's laid out, I don't know. We have a lot to be concerned about. Some people say, don't you love that phrase? Some people say small amounts of radiation are good for you, while other people say there's no amount of radiation that is safe. So why can't someone make it easy? So here we are helping to provide the facts. If you want additional information on why there's disagreement about the effects of low-level radiation, we have provided the section called Controversy. So let's jump to Controversy. We have less than 10 minutes left. This page is called radiationanswers.org. So let's see where the controversy page is. So actually, you want to know what? The controversy page went away. Oh, here it is. It's a small little link. Okay, let's read what it says, and this will tell us scientific aspects, social aspects, political aspects, science in more detail, how studies are conducted. Wow, how studies are conducted. We know how they are conducted. Why don't people, even experts, agree on the effects of radiation? The short answer to this question is that experts don't agree because experts can't scientifically observe if there is an effect on humans due to exposure of radiation at low doses. Why can't they observe whether there is an effect or not? Because there is an effect at the doses we are interested in. Because if there is an effect at the doses we are interested in for protecting the public and the worker, it is so small it can't be conclusively seen in scientific studies. That, folks, is a straight-up lie, as proven by Dr. John Goffman in his book, Exposure to Low-Level Radiation, Human-Induced Cancers. He wrote a very pretty good sized book, scientifically studied, that shows that low-level radiation causes harm to human health, and that is a complete lie. That is a complete lie. So we know this page on radiation exposure, the controversy, is written by the nuclear industry, who want to lie to us and tell us that radiation is not causing us harm. That's so annoying. The fact that there is disagreement provides some comfort that the effect can't be very large or would be conclusively seen. Does that make you spit nails? It makes me spit nails. Experts do agree that radiation can and does cause observable health effects at high doses. Doses greater than 50 rem. You know how we know that this is a industry thing? They use this elusive term, the REM. REM is a term used to describe the equivalent or effect of radiation dose. In the International System of Units, the sievert, SV, describes equivalent or radiation or effective radiation dose. One sievert is equivalent to 100 REM. So they're saying 50 rem, anything over 50 rem, so a half a sievert. One sievert is equivalent to 100 rem, so one sievert is, I'll have to do the math on that. It is a unit that the product of energy absorbed in human tissue and the quality of radiation being absorbed, the ability of radiation to cause harm. How can these people live with themselves and continue to produce these types of lies? We know for a fact that low-level radiation causes harm. It has been scientifically proven. Wow. So this is one of the things here, folks. I'm not going to go into their little bit of propaganda because I see we've only got 2 minutes left and I'm already spitting nails. But I would suggest to you that anybody listening to this radio station, we actually really need to get off our duffs. We need to get active. And I don't know what that means, but we need millions of people in the street, millions of people posting videos, millions of people calling their elected officials, if you believe in that. I know lots of people don't. I mean, we've got to be throwing everything at them. We've got to be doing every single thing because guess what? They have complete power and control. They're out here producing a website that's telling us straight lies that you cannot scientifically study the harm to human health from low-level radiation, which is a complete lie. What they're doing is ignoring the studies that shows that there is harm to human health. And if you and me and your neighbors don't get off of our rear ends to stop these monsters, we are not going to have life on this planet. And it is not fear-mongering. This is not a fear-mongering exercise. So look, I see that I have about 40 seconds left of the show. I want to thank everybody for joining me today. Thank you for hanging in there. This has been a really delightful year. August 8th or 3rd, I think, is my one-year anniversary on the Age of Fission radio show. Hopefully I'm improving. I really appreciate your listenership and for you referring my radio show and our station www.ucy.tv to as many friends as you possibly can. So thank you for joining us. I will be speaking with you on Friday. It'll be call-in Friday. I look forward to hearing from you. Put your courage feet on. Take action. Thank you so much.